Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 37. I'm Jamie.
I'm Tim.
I'm Alex.
And that's right. As you heard in my little blurb episode, we've switched things up, and John and August are going to do their own thing. They have some cool ideas coming up in Maine, but now that I'm in Los Angeles, met some cool guys here, Tim and Alex, and we're going to record a new version of the show. Same formula, same format. Just wanted to have some. I wanted to keep it going. Put it that way. Yeah, so
that's good. That's always good.
But we're gonna do a short episode today and for next week, just to get our feet wet here. So we're gonna start talking about our 2015 release, Tangerine, shot entirely in this city, Los Angeles, and
best feature winner at the Spirit Awards. I think it won.
Was it best feature?
It might have. Yeah.
It won quite a few different things.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So Tangerine was a film which is known for its filmmaking style. It was shot on an iPhone, was it 5S?
5S, yes.
Yeah, entirely on a 5S. They did use some lenses from a company, right, to augment?
Yeah, I forget which one it was, but then it definitely was it wasn't just a phone. You know, they had quite a different extensions. They also had a pretty cool program that they, I think it was Film Ink that they used. An app that you use on your phone, and pretty much you can adjust your aperture, your focus, your zoom length, and all those different things.
That's nice.
So it makes it easier than just using video, where everything is pretty much auto set. This one makes it a lot more manual, so it feels more like an actual camera.
That's good.
It was the winner of Best Supporting Female for the Independent Spirit Awards, and it was nominated for Best Feature, but it did not win.
Okay, cool.
Best Feature.
Written, directed by Sean Baker. Full disclosure here, we're all members of Film Independent in Los Angeles, and it's an organization that helps foster film growth, gives you connections, gives you early access to film screenings, insight into different ways of getting better at the craft, honestly. Where there's like this screenwriting, like salons and all these different types of events you can apply to and go to, and you can even use their offices for like casting calls and stuff like that. So
And they're also in charge of the Spirit Awards, and they're a big part of the Los Angeles Film Festival
too. Yeah, this is how we all met, through these screenings or these meetings. But also we do see in the screenings there's always a blurb about Sean Baker in Tangerine and how he got a lot of help from Film Independent, so it's pretty cool. I went in watching it solely for its style. Mm-hmm. For the reasons that it was shot on an iPhone, which I'm sure most people did. I guess maybe I was low expectations. There's a pretty good story behind it. At first, it was a little slow, and then it picks up. Like, I didn't see the progression the story would actually take, and it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I heard about the movie because it was at Sundance when I was there a couple years ago. One of my writing buddies really liked it, and he's actually part of the LGBTQ department at Writers Guild.
Oh, cool.
So he invited me to a special screening for that, and so actually Sean Baker and the actresses, they were all there, and so they were all talking about how it all went, and it was really fascinating to see how organic it was, just because the story wasn't it wasn't written like, this is the script. It was really Sean going into the community and asking, like, who are you? And really kind of coming at it from a perspective of, I want to know who you guys are and what you guys, how you guys see the world, pretty much. And that's kind of how the story crafted itself, because he met, I think her name is Kiki.
Yep.
And he was like, just from the first moment that he met Kiki, was like, you're it. So that's kind of how, like, it just apparently just clicked, and they just went from there. And also, you know, the all the different actresses, a lot of them aren't actors. They're all from that part of Los Angeles, and they're just all a part of that community. And so it was something that wasn't like I have a story idea, let's see if we can fill it up. It was, I have an interest and curiosity about this community, and let's see what we can do with it.
When I saw it, I was going through the Spirit Award nominees before I voted, and I kept putting that one off because the trailer just didn't appeal to me. I was like, the iPhone thing was kind of in the background in my mind, but I was like, I don't know, it just didn't look interesting. And then I was like, you know, it's up for all these awards, I should probably watch it. So it was the last one I watched, and I liked it a lot. It was entertaining. It didn't feel like it was shot on a phone. It was like, it was almost like a found footage kind of thing. It felt like a, you know, what do you call it, like Steadicam almost, but not really that steady. So it was like, it was beautiful. Like I remember the scene where she's walking down the street, and like, there's a sunset, and like, there's lens flare. It's just, it looks so great. And like, the story just kept you interested. They were going from location to location in Los Angeles, which they never bored. Mm-hmm. It was short and to the point. It was good. I liked it a lot. I was very pleasantly surprised.
One thing I really liked about it, and they actually talked about this at the event, was that it's one of the first movies about Los Angeles that really shows Los Angeles as Los Angeles. It doesn't glamorize LA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It shows, like, I mean, that was shot, like, mostly on Santa Monica, on Vine. Like, you can go to that donut shop that they have that, spoiling anything, but then, you know, there's this thing that happens at the pretty much towards the end of the movie at this big donut shop. It's a tiny donut shop, but it's there. It's, like, right on that corner, and you can go and get donuts. You know, it's, like, really how gritty and dirty Los Angeles really is, because so many movies glamorize how, like, I mean, well, LA's awesome in its ways, but it's not like what you see on, you know, when they go to the Oscars. It's not like Hollywood, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or the idea of what LA and Hollywood is. And so I really appreciated that they really showed a true representation of what it is like to walk around the streets of LA.
So the film is basically about two transsexual or trans...
They are transgendered.
Okay.
There is a big difference between transgender and transsexual.
Because they still have...
They still have their...
unit.
Their born genitalia.
Okay.
So they have not gone through the actual transition.
Yeah.
They haven't fully transitioned. So they...
Okay.
That's, transgender, transsexual. There is a... It's, like, it's really hard since I'm not in that community necessarily. This is just my understanding of it. Honestly, I'd just say if you have any big questions about it, go talk to someone who would know more about it. You know, you can find a lot of resources online.
Yeah.
But they're in the trans community.
It's about two trans prostitutes, essentially, in Los Angeles, dealing with their day-to-day involvement. One of which, the main character, she just got out of jail for like a 30-day stint. And her
Cindy,
yeah. Yeah, Sin-D.
Yeah.
So her pimp is like her boyfriend, and she was telling her friend as she just got out, she's like, oh, we got some great news, you know. And the other one's like, oh, did you finally dump him because he was cheating on you? And she's like, what? So it starts her on this like tirade. She's going out for blood to kill him or to figure out what's going on or find the girl who he was cheating with. And it's a long look at this one day in their lives and how crazy it gets, and while still working their job. So it's a really interesting look into that side of life and that side of LA. So,
and the cab driver's storyline too is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a cab driver in there who employs their services, but he has a family and a kid at home, and his mother-in-law and family is over for the holidays. It takes place Christmas Eve. Yeah, so it's really heartbreaking.
It's really funny, too.
It is. Parts of it. It is very funny.
I mean, it's a dark comedy. It's it's actually written, I mean, it isn't the genre of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of my favorite parts is when the prostitute gets in the cab and he thinks she's, you know, transsexual.
Oh my
gosh. And he feels and he's like, no, get out of here.
What is that? It's a pussy.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
But it is true, like, it's because he was, one of the things he says, like, you don't know what part of the street you're on. Like, you can't be here. And it's like, oh man, yeah. It's like such a subculture of LA that a lot of people don't know about.
It's funny, though, that you say you like it because it shows the true LA. I think the award shows definitely glamorize LA. I can't think of a movie. Like, most movies are, like, crime movies and...
Well, like,
you know,
when...
I feel like La La Land, which I'm super excited. That's my most anticipated film.
I'm so excited for
because
La La Land.
I need an L.A. movie or an L.A. song. Like, something that does that for L.A. And plus, I love Ryan Gosling, but... It's like, I'm excited for that movie, but I can't think of another one that does that.
Well, I guess, I mean, not necessarily L.A., Los Angeles, but...
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hollywood, because especially when people start talking about Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because those streets, like Santa Monica, Vine, that all goes through Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's not on the Walk of Fame, but even if you go to the Walk of Fame, it's just, it's so crummy.
Yeah.
And because, like, you know, whenever you watch the Oscars, they cover all that shit up. Like, everything's covered up. Nothing's ever, like, you don't see it for what it is. So whenever they do that, you know, they definitely glamorize Hollywood.
Yeah.
Whenever they have any kind of trailers for Universal Studios, you know, they should be like, oh, this
oh,
is
yeah,
Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's like, no, Universal Studios isn't even in Hollywood. And, like, when they show Warner Brothers, it's in Burbank. Like, Hollywood isn't, like, the town of Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Like, the whole concept and what Hollywood has become.
It's L.A. County, mostly. I mean...
Well, I mean, it's just more the idea of, like, you know, when you see a movie like The Artist, it shows that love letter
to
Hollywood.
Well, Rules Don't Apply will be the same thing, right? The Warren Beatty film?
I actually haven't seen that yet. That's
no,
what I have to see.
That's an old school Hollywood Howard Hughes thing. So
yeah.
Seems like a kind of thing. Yeah, all the old Hollywood films.
I guess they're trying to keep that alive the...
Yeah, that the magic of Hollywood alive. Yeah. But then when it comes to, like, actually living in Hollywood, especially if you're not in the industry, it's just, it's not glamorous at all.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why the whole... the fantasy, and like I talked to so many people who are like, but you're still living in Hollywood. I'm like, I'm not, you know. And
I wouldn't mind. I love Hollywood.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not what they think it is, you know. And so I think that's when people get here and they see how it really is, a lot of tourists get very disappointed.
I can speak to myself. I'm not a tourist. I just moved here about a month ago, but when I came here, and I walk a lot, which is unheard of in this area. Apparently a lot of people drive, but I have a lot of accessibility to things around me, so I'm walking around trying to get my exercise as much as I can. I've noticed that, yeah, there's a lot of people just doing their jobs. There's a medical facility right near where I live, so there's a lot of, like, nurses and techs coming through with their scrubs on. And I just, like, think to myself, like, when I see a celebrity, I'm like, wow, these people must see it every day, and to them, it's nothing. To me, I'm like, I just don't want to be that asshole. It's like, hey! But then also, there's so many more people than what you think line the streets of Hollywood. There's not as many celebrities as you think. There's not as many, like, athletes or actors or musicians. It's mostly people just like you and me, just doing their thing in a different part of the city, the world, you know? Yeah. Just, that's what it is. So I'm fascinated by that side of things. I like seeing different intersects of life in an area that I've visited, because it gives me another perspective that I would never have noticed otherwise. I'm not interested in trans prostitutes, so I would never see that side of thing, you know?
Have you done a lot of the touristy stuff or no?
I haven't been to the Walk of Fame yet, or Man's Chinese, which I want to go.
Yeah, that theater is awesome.
Yeah.
The largest IMAX auditorium, not in the largest IMAX screen, but the largest IMAX auditorium. It's cool. They recently just did a renovation where they deepened the stadium so it fits more people. And also, when Interstellar came out, Christopher Nolan paid for the renovation for all the audio system there, so that it fits exactly what he wanted there. And so I didn't get to see it when it was in that place, but yeah,
I'd like to see it. I want to see Rogue One.
That would be a good place to watch that.
Yeah,
one of my goals, on my bucket list, is to be a tourist now for like 3 days and do all the stuff that I don't get to do because I live here.
Yeah,
okay. Ripley's, believe it or not,
the TMZ tours,
Wax Museum.
Ripley's would be nice. Awesome.
I did the TMZ tour and the Dolby tour back when it was the Kodak Theater. And I was in a program out here, and so part of it was pretty much you get to spend 2 days as a tourist, and it was all mandatory.
Oh, jeez.
So, it was quote-unquote, I'm doing air quotes, very hard, because they give us tickets to the John Williams concert. It's like, you have to go. And I'm like, don't twist my arm.
Yeah.
So we got to go see John Williams concert at the Hollywood Bowl and all that stuff. So it was, like, all done in one, like, 2 days. And after that, they're like, okay, you guys are no longer tourists. You guys are going to go work your butts off. And it's fun. You should do it. Yeah, you guys should do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The TMZ tour, you get to drive by all the celebrities' houses, and like, that's where Will Smith lives. That's where Michael Jackson's family lives.
See, even that, like, that's not really, like, important to me. I'd rather, like, sit around and talk to the people I admire and try to learn their craft. Not necessarily, here's where they live. Like, I can give a shit where they live.
I know, yeah.
It almost make me feel... it almost made me look down on them because, like, you're wasting that much money on the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm so practical. I'd be like, no, I can't afford that. I can't do that, even if I could. But.
Oh, man. But that's all the touristy things that you could do if you're here. When I did one of the tours, I forget which one, they went to Rodeo Drive at the end, and they were like, keep your eyes peeled because you might see a celebrity. And everyone got so excited. And, of course, no one saw anybody.
No.
And then it really does kind of make people feel like you're at a zoo where you're just like, there's a celebrity.
And that's why I try to avoid that kind of... I've seen more people at a coffee shop than I've seen anywhere else.
People have always, like... I've seen a lot of celebrities, but people always ask, like, why don't you take pictures with them? I'm like, well, okay. So, like, we're all artists here. So, like, if we're trying to be artists, don't bother somebody else if they're on their personal day.
I'll do it if I'm, like, if it's their event.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Exactly.
Other than that, it's like, no.
If they're at, like, a question and answer, if they're at a talk back or a panel.
Book signing.
That's where we almost, we tried to stock up. Not stock, Anna Kendrick. Because, again, it was an event that was going to be a photo op. But then Anna Kendrick was at the Grove Barnes & Nobles.
I would die.
And we were, like, standing in front of the line 4 hours early. We could have, if we sat there
for
4 hours.
We just didn't know. We were like, okay, where is it? And we went over to that area and we're like, oh, it's empty. Oh, it's later tonight. We could sit here, but we shouldn't. I work at Universal Studios, and I have quite a few people who work in the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Nice. And she went into the there's the Ollivander's Wand Fitting Experience, and normally when they have high profile people, they want to do a private show for them just because they don't want people to get for the exact reason, for security reasons and all that stuff. And like, she didn't demand it or anything, and then they just did it for her. And so when she was going in, she was thanking everybody. She's like, thank you so much. So I hear she's such a sweetheart, so I'm really cool. I was really sad I didn't get to see her. But yeah, but on the going back to Tangerine.
Yeah, we went off. No, it's fine. I was kind of okay with that because it's nice to, for a lot of people, listeners are from Maine, so they don't know what I've been going through or what this is like. So it's good to give them an idea of what LA really is like.
That's good. But then going back to Tangerine, like, what do you think about how, especially if you guys are you an Apple person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. You know how the iPhone 6S now has a 4K camera.
6S does?
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, the 7S has, like, this really interesting focal, like, portrait mode now. So.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, starting from the 6S, now the cameras are capable of shooting in 4K, which is ridiculous because, honestly, how many people really know, unless you're a filmmaker, what 4K is?
Right.
Having gone to that point, like, how do you think... Because now, you know, shooting something is so accessible. Back in the day, it was just... You know, cost so much money to shoot one roll of film because after that you'd have to develop it and it takes time and you can't be messing around with things that you don't light properly. So what do you guys think about the pros and cons of having something so accessible to everybody?
I mean, so to kind of counteract Alex, I didn't think it looked that all that good. I mean, they did a lot with what they had. But, I mean, if we watch a normal traditional film on, you know, 5K or whatever have you, or even film, it would be of a higher quality. But that being said, I mean, that can be a con of it. You know, just you are limited in what you can pull off visually.
Did you see it in theaters? Sorry.
No, I watched it.
Yeah, I saw it on Netflix. On the big screen, and it looked great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched it on my TV, and it was like... Oh, it's the same as everything else because it's 1080, you know? Yeah.
Right.
So. I mean, I thought it looked as good as it would have. Because honestly, a lot of theaters don't have 4K. Like, I mean, here, yes. But a lot of theaters world, like, nationwide, don't. They won't have 4K projectors.
No, maybe 2K.
Not everyone has, like, 4K TVs, you know? It doesn't really... Mm-hmm. It has effects in, like, when it really matters. But then... especially if you're doing something at an independent circuit level or online, you don't need 4K capability because you're not going to be watching something on your phone and be like, oh my God, that's 4K. You know, you're not going
to... But I've argued this for a long time. There is a difference, though. Remember the transition from SD to HD? Mm-hmm. When you saw something shot in HD, even on an SD TV, you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Same thing with 4K, I think. Even when you're looking at your phone and you could see something's recorded in 4K, there's a visual clarity to it. It's not necessarily transcribed in a way that's super obvious, but for us, we would pick it up. I mean, I've noticed it. Like, some people may just say, wow, it looks good. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah.
But I think my grandparents just got a 4K TV, and I went there for Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh my God, we were watching Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, it's so blue and so red, and like, it's so much of a bigger difference than like SD to HD, I thought. It was like huge difference. But then some commercials were not in 4K.
Sure.
And it was just whitewashed and just looked horrible. And it was like you could just glance at it and be like, oh my God, like what is this?
That worries me. Like if I ever get a 4K TV, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, half the stuff, if it's not in 4K, it's just... It looks weird.
But then the big question really does become, like, you know, when people utilize these things, how are they actually using it?
Yeah.
Like, are people really... Because if you see something in 4K, or, like, you know, even if you see something... I know they have those, like, 48 frame rate TVs now where, like, everything just kind of plays
in that frame rate. Oh, they've had that for a long time,
Yeah, and, like, I like it for certain things, but then, like, if you go back and watch a film that's, like, shot on film...
Yeah.
Back in the day, like, let's say, for instance, going back to, like, Casablanca,
it's
not going to look the same as it does now. And it kind of, for me, sometimes loses the warmth of having something that's not completely crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, that's why a lot of this...
It should look old.
Yeah, even if it's not old, like, even if you put... you know, even if you shoot digital and you put film grain over it, there's some kind of warmth that comes to it just by seeing it not completely crystal clear. So, like, I don't know, I feel like that's something that people are so focused on the capabilities that they don't really focus on the artistry anymore. They're just like, well, this can do this, so let's let it do it.
Sure.
Instead of, this is what it's capable of, what can we really use this for?
At first, when I was watching the 4K, I was not okay with it. Like, for the first half hour, I was like, this is too real. It's too much, too red, too blue. I'm like, it's almost like reality isn't this bright. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I almost felt like, at first I was like, I don't know if I would buy this. And then after a while, like, we turned on football or basketball, and I was like, okay, sure, now this is what this is for.
Sure.
But yeah. Like, Dancing with the Stars, I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's what most of the time those kinds of technologies benefit from is sports or, you know, I really quickly, I watched Billy Lynn's long halftime walk.
Oh.
In 128 frames per second. I don't like necessarily... Yeah, you lose a lot of quality when you don't have the 24 frames. You're able to submerge yourself into the film more. So I feel like you do lose something when you lose 24 frames per second and it becomes more realistic. But it is good for the sports. And even animation, yeah, for some points can come through really cool.
And honestly, like live action 3D.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people gave it so much crap. And I'm not talking about the story or anything or commenting on that. But then when I watched The Hobbit in 48 frames per second in 3D, the motion blur was gone. So, like, my mom watched the first one with me in theaters, and she gets nauseous at, like, the drop of a pin.
Oh.
And she wasn't nauseous the entire movie.
That was 48 frames 3D.
Yeah, because, I mean, it just doesn't look like it's in 3D anymore. It just looks like you're seeing it on stage. But then it looks really weird.
But that takes away from the fantastical elements.
Exactly. It kind of makes it less... it's no longer a movie, almost. It's almost like you're watching them through a box. But that's exactly what Peter Jackson intended. He was like, I want you to see into Middle Earth through a box, which is, you know,
I get it.
It works for that. And like, if you were able to somehow incorporate something like that into, I don't know, just because, you know, when you watch any big action movie in 3D, especially if it's a live action movie, then you just lose so many frames because it's 24. And so it becomes so blurry. If anything comes close to the camera, you just drop so many things. Yeah. And so, I mean, when I watched Doctor Strange in 3D, and I didn't have a problem with it, but like, I had a friend who went, he was like, I hated it in 3D because it was just, you couldn't see much.
Interesting.
You were mentioning the accessibility of everything.
Yeah.
I think it's good for, like, us. Like, people who want to make films because we can get an iPhone and, I guess, kind of shoot in 4K.
Yeah.
But it's the same time, I guess it'll always have that, like, it's not as good as, you know, obviously using professional equipment. But I think for us, the accessibility is awesome. Anyone can pretty much do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, see, that's kind of the downside of things because now since everyone does it, there's so much content out there. So, like, which ones do you watch? And, like, if you submit something to Sundance, let's say, like, you know, even 10 years ago, the amount of submissions they were getting was, like, a fourth of what they're getting now because everyone and their mother with a phone... It's like, I can make a movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, DSLRs are very affordable now.
Uh-huh.
And so they're like, I can make a movie, and I'm going to just submit it. And even if they're... So there's just so much content out there. So when you get something into a festival, even if it is really good, it's so easy to get it overlooked. Yeah. Because there's so much content out there.
Sure.
So
if you keep the festivals, like, more exclusive, but, like, you know.
Yeah, but then that also then becomes kind of a challenge because the if you go to, like, this summer, have you been to LA Film Festival?
Yeah.
Like, most of those films, you should go this summer because it's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You should volunteer for stuff, actually.
I know, I asked about that the first night, yeah.
There's, like, so many movies that get into that, other than the premiere and the galas, those are all the big ones. But, like, all the ones that get in, there's so many that have big-name actors in it.
Yeah.
You really don't get a lot of truly independent cinema anymore at film festivals, which is kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think at the sake of trying to keep it a little bit more exclusive, they're keeping it to the top percentage of all the films there. And those are going to be the ones that have the money, that have the name stars and all that stuff attached to it. There are very few that get in that aren't like that. And the chances of people going to watch those, if they have to choose to go see Michael Fassbender
or
My Binky Short, you know, they're going to choose Michael Fassbender.
Right.
So I don't know, like, I really do like what Slam Dance did because, you know, those are the people who didn't get into Sundance because they were like, you guys are becoming commercial, and they started their own, but now Slam Dance is becoming more commercial. I don't know. It's just like, there's so much content out there. And it gets a little difficult. Yeah. But I definitely do love the fact that there is so much accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have been in the studio system to be able to acquire equipment to be able to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should wrap this one up so we can get the other one going. But yeah, Tangerine is interesting. I'm glad that it was made. And I think that with stories can really bring you, bubble your movie up to the surface. And, you know, no matter how you shoot it, if the story is there... people resonate with that. So it's exciting for us as filmmakers. So hopefully that could be the next, we could be the next Sean Barker. Yeah. Or Baker, I should say. Sean Baker. We could be the next Barker. Sean Barker. Damn it. I fucked up.
Is it the South Park guy?
No, that's Trey Parker.
Oh, you're right.
Oh.
But yeah. So anyway, this has been episode 37. Woo. Nightquad Hollywood. I'm Jamie.
I'm Tim.
I'm Alex.
And we'll see you guys later.